We live in violent times. We'd like to think otherwise, but it would be hard to deny it whenever we hear the words Columbine or Virginia Tech or more recently Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Binghamton, New York, or Pine Lake Nursing Home right here in our own state. Incredibly, to my mind at least, it's still legal for gun shops to sell assault weapons. For what earthly reason, I can't imagine. We hear over and over of those who kill with guns, with baseball bats, with hands, bare hands. We allow drunk drivers to kill and maim, often with scarcely a slap on their wrist as punishment. We lock our cars while riding in them. The fearful threat of a random carjacking never far from our minds. Vast sums of money are made by those who offer TV or movie theater mayhem, featuring gruesome murders and sadistic sex, and to ensure the ongoing market, more of the same is offered to our children in the guise of video games. I imagine that you hate the violence and fear it and try to avoid it, as do I. Yet we have come to our relatively safe and peaceful church, specifically to recall an ultimate act of violence, the brutal murder of the innocent man, Jesus of Nazareth. Our thoughts are focused on that particular violent death this night. Some time ago, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, a clowning industry was active in this church and also in the Roman church. The liturgical clowns tried to portray what life might be as the new creation of which St. Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The most important aspect of the church clown is that he dies to himself. So it is that the clown becomes a new creation by first dying. The white face that he dons symbolizes death. The clown's death to self. And the bright new face, which is added on top of the white face, is the vivid reminder of the resurrection, a sign of hope, written on the flesh of the clown, a bringing of life to a new being. The clown, as a new creation in Christ, sees himself as a servant, one who gives of himself. When clowning within the liturgy, the clowns offer a symbolic gift to each member of the congregation during the offertory. The gift is extended solemnly, yet at the same time with great joy. Each time a clown reaches out to a worshiper, he becomes vulnerable, for he risks rejection. Nonetheless, he risks. For without risk, without vulnerability, love does not happen. Why have I brought a description of the clowning ministry into tonight's remembrance of our Lord's death? Well, I hope you can see the connections. The clown's actions remind us of the life of servanthood that Jesus exemplified, the vulnerability he chose, and the risks for others that he willingly undertook. led to the death that he endured, which we remember tonight. But there is more. The clown reminds us that we too are called to die. Not once, but twice. The first death we are called to endure is the dying to self. The second is our physical death. The first will be more difficult. We see Jesus' death to self in the way that he lived and died. In this gospel, the one that we just heard, St. John calls Jesus' early earthly life a glorification of God the Father. The word glory is a word which, in the English language usage, does not give enough of the meaning of the Greek word involved. The Greek word seems to mean birth. This is the deeper sense that is true of Christ's glory. The glory, or the worth, of Christ's cross is in what he brought to the cross, the love and nature of God. Jesus' goodness and love gave expression to God's goodness and love, to God's desire to save us from ourselves. Christ's life and death revealed the glory, the worth of self-giving love. We are called to die to pride and self-centeredness and to replace them with self-giving love. Before us is the symbol of violence, the cross. How is it that the instrument of Christ's torture and execution has become the symbol of our faith? Is it because we are a violent people who glory in signs of violence? The cross surely does exemplify humanity's hatred and violence. We rightly keep it before us, because it is also the symbol of God's triumph over the worst that we are able to do to one another. The cross is a permanent rebuke to violence. The gospel doesn't end with the Lord's crucifixion. Seen from the vantage point of Christ's resurrection, the cross also points to God's triumph over violence, over evil, over death. Jesus didn't have to die. He chose not to avoid the paths that led to his death because he believed that he had to die if the world was to be saved. So the cross stands not only for the worst that can be done, but also for the best. It's part of the crowning conclusion of that which began when the Word was made flesh to dwell among us. Jesus' death on the cross signals the conclusion of the drama in the context of God's plan. Jesus, long before the crucifixion, had died to self. At his physical death, he dies with the knowledge that he has completed the work he came to earth to do. The figure on the cross calls us to something beyond the violence of the world, to loving sacrifice, to forgiveness, to ultimate peace. We may look to the cross to know hope. Amen.